Oh, welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host each and every week, Dr. Brian McCarty. Dr. Brian, it's good to see you today.
Hey, Michael. It's a beautiful day.
Well, it's trying, man.
There's sun. We see just a little bit of sun.
Any chance you can play 18 today?
That is not happening.
No?
I wish it would, but I don't think so. But, I'm on call, looking after patients, taking care of my partner's patients this weekend, as they do so often for me. So that's okay. We maybe hit a couple balls on the range. We'll see.
So you've got your British Open hat on today.
I sure do.
Have you ever played where it's been this way? You know, they had to stop play.
Yes, I've been to Ireland a couple times and Scotland once. We played, my son Liam and other son Aiden and I played the old course for Liam's 18th birthday.
Oh, my.
Which was probably the single most fun thing we've ever done on a golf course. That course, if you love golf, is incredible. I mean, it's just, you know, a lot of people look at it and they say, geez, where are the big trees? Where's the water hazards and all this stuff? It is so much fun to play if you love golf because you can choose 3, 4, 5 different types of shot on every single shot that you hit there.
I don't think watching on TV does it justice.
I can tell you it does not do it justice, not even close. If you go there, go and arrive on Sunday. Sunday, they close the entire course, and it's a public park. And people literally go play Frisbee. They have dogs out walking around the golf course. Wow. It is phenomenal. The whole town is out just walking around enjoying the park, which is, by the way, the old course at St. Andrews. And then the next day, they're back out open for play again. And so we arrived on Sunday. We were all jet-lagged anyway, and we walked the entire course. And, I mean, just walking around that place, seeing Hell Bunker, you have no idea how deep it is. Actually, my son Liam knows how deep it is. He was one over par when he got to the 14th hole.
Wow.
Yeah. And he went into Hell Bunker, and he came out 6 over par. So it's just
that's
to give,
awesome.
Yeah, it's a really cool place. If you love golf, make the pilgrimage one of these days to go over there and just close your eyes and pay a tour company and get on there.
Do you know, I know that when you play golf, your legs are really important, but certainly your hands are important. And today's guest, we're going to get a chance to talk to him quite a bit about some injuries, some hand injuries when it comes to sports. And I look forward to talking to him. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we're very lucky. We've got Dr. Amin Afsari, A-F-S-A-R-I, here with us. He's one of my partners, who's a hand expert and upper extremity expert, really does a lot of elbow and hand and some shoulder work and everything else. And he's a terrific guy. And he's going to share his expertise with us today about hand injuries that are common in sports and then some unusual injuries that people may not be thinking of. So.
Well, it's interesting because we talked on that 4th of July show, or maybe it was the week after, but we talked about the firework injuries that some of these the professional football players had. And we had a chance prior to the show. I had a chance to ask Doctor about the New York Giants player that had his index finger blown off, and how much that was going to affect him. And I just thought, wow, that's an interesting topic.
Yeah, let's ask him.
Yeah, you bet. He's sitting right here. So, we're talking about him like he's not here.
I know. Doctor Afsari, tell us about that. I mean, tell us about, first of all, what happened with that the injury, and how you expect that to affect his play coming up.
Well, to be honest, I don't think that's going to affect him too much. The good news about that injury is that the grip strength that's required for strong arming running backs to the ground is really on the ulnar side of the hand. The ulnar side of the hand is the small and ring finger, and that's where all your strength is when you grip. So to miss the index finger, you know, I don't think it's going to affect him too much. But there's going to be times where he's clawing with every inch of his fingers. He may miss that occasionally in some plays.
So this is Pierre Paul, for those people who
aren't, we
didn't actually say that, but from the New York Giants, who had this injury. And so explain that again. So people that are listening, maybe they can try this out. So if you grab hard with your
small and ring finger,
your pinky finger and your ring finger, it's actually stronger than the other two.
Yeah, put a golf club in your hand, and if you grip hard on that handle, you'll notice that you can grip much stronger with your small and ring finger than you can if you just bend down your index and long finger.
I should stop gripping with just two fingers.
You really should.
Yeah,
Maybe you can hit the ball a little further.
You'll
maybe
be much better if you use all four.
So that's great. That's an interesting tip. So in other words, you don't think this is going to affect him dramatically, but maybe if he's just got to reach out and grab somebody, he might be thinking, maybe I shouldn't have held that firework in my hand and lit it off.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not.
How much therapy will he have to go through before he gets back on the field, do you think?
I'll answer that simply, Mike, with a lot. He's going to need.
Yeah.
And depending on the level of where they amputated that finger, it can really affect tendon excursion and tendon gliding through to the other fingers too. So that's a big part of the recovery process, and he's got to do some long hours in therapy to get back to normal.
Hey, once and I don't know if it was just blown off or if they ended up having to take that finger off, but how much pain do you think not only was he in at that point, but then during his recovery, how painful will that be for him?
I think initially when it happened, I think certainly very painful. In the hospital, I'm sure they had his pain covered, but the procedures initially, I understand that there was at least one procedure prior to the amputation, and that certainly was painful. During the recovery process, we may hear if he develops a neuroma, which is a sensitive nerve ending at the amputation site. Something like that could cause pain long term, but hopefully that doesn't develop, and then it may be pain free.
You know, I've heard of guys that, you know, once they get back, they forget that they don't have that anymore, that finger, and they'll go to do and to use it for quite a while before they you know, obviously it now is no longer part of what they can use. But it's interesting. A pastor that I used to go to church at, he was a carpenter and had a finger, and he said it took him a while not to understand that finger was gone.
You know, your brain is so in touch with your fingers and your hands. You're using it day in, day out for everything you do. And when you lose some length on one of those digits, and you go to push a button, all of a sudden it's not there. You realize your brain is still thinking it's there.
We are talking with Dr. Amin Afsari. You can check him out at mymosh.com, and you can certainly find his bio. And if you have any questions or would like to meet him, mymosh.com is a great place for you to get all the information that you need on him. Hey, one other thing I wanted to talk to you before we get to a break. Ryan Braun with his thumb. He had another procedure on June 3rd, and I know it's a procedure that I didn't understand it until we talked a little bit about it, but they would freeze the damaged nerve at sub-zero temperatures, and I'm wondering, I don't think that's something that you guys do. Is that correct?
Correct. That's more of a pain management procedure.
Yeah, this is just so that people listening, Ryan Braun has a problem with the nerve inside his thumb. So if you imagine that you grip onto a baseball bat and you know where that sort of rests on the inside part of your thumb, that's where he has an injury to his nerve there. And he has what we think is called a neuroma. It's a very common problem, but having it there as a professional baseball player is a real problem because every time you grip the bat, and particularly when you make contact, it hits that nerve and it sends a sharp shooting pain. See that? I got that out eventually.
Easy for you to say.
I got a sharp shooting pain that goes right down the thumb, and it's really debilitating. So this isn't like an injection of local anesthetic, which we use a lot, you know, which works for a few hours.
Sure.
This is something that's longer lasting. So Dr. Afsari, tell us exactly what do they do and why does it last longer?
Well, basically they're taking a very, very cold probe. It gets down to minus 30 degrees. And they put it right at the site of the neuroma and then freeze the nerve. Essentially what that does is makes the nerve go to sleep for a long period of time. I mean, it basically is, I don't want to say kills the nerve, but, you know.
Well, it deadens it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
for the time being, it deadens the nerve, but it leaves the tube that the nerve is sort of intact, right? So
correct.
Over time, the nerve can regenerate, and it'll very slowly do that. And in this case, right, with a professional baseball player who's making millions of dollars a year and whose livelihood depends upon this, this is a very reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, it's working. He's playing well.
Yeah, he is.
And the other options, I'm sure they've been through them all, putting a pad on there, adjusting the bat to some degree, the grip, the therapy, I'm sure, was attempted. And then you get to the point where it still causes pain and limitation. Then you got to talk about a procedure like cryotherapy like he's having, or else you're talking about trying to move the nerve. And in that nerve, the thumb, there's not a good option surgically. There's no guarantees with that surgery. And the final option would be just cut the nerve out surgically. But then you wouldn't feel that half of your thumb the rest of your life. So that's certainly an issue.
What's interesting, and it says in the article that I read this morning, that he had the second procedure June 3rd, but that was the first one was October 2nd, and that was after two treatments failed over the previous two seasons. And it doesn't really get into what those other treatments were.
Yeah, we don't know specifically, but some of the things that you try for that, sometimes you'll try a little cortisone injection around the nerve. Sometimes that can be curative. I've seen that in my own practice. If you get inflammation around that area to go away, it'll get better. But I'm sure they've tried this whole gamut, as Dr. Afsari has pointed out. And because none of the other things are working, and this one appears to work at least for several months at a time, it's a reasonable option. So,
hey, guys, let's get to a quick break. Other side of the break, when is a finger just a finger? We're going to find out. Stay
when it's
tuned.
Not a thumb.
Ba-dum-bump. Well done.
There you go.
And we're still going to ask people to stick around because we've got
some
great
questions.
No,
you want to stick around for the next segment and find out the answer to that mysterious question.
You bet. Finger injuries in sports. Our special guest in studio, again, you can check him out at mymosh.com, Dr. Amin Afsari. And he is in studio with us for the entire hour. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM.
Through the storm, we reach the shore. You gave it all, but I want more. And I'm waiting for you.
That's you too, brought to you by our special guest. He's picking the music this week. Dr. Amin Afsari, thank you so much. I love you too. That's a nice selection right there.
Just saw him in Chicago.
Good Did
show.
You really?
Yeah.
A great show, I bet. A couple of Irish boys in here, and well done.
Ronnie Lott talking to his finger.
Yes, he. Oh, but well played on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Well played. Hey, let's talk about common finger injuries when it comes to sports. You know, when you were talking before about Ryan Braun, that's commonly known as a bowler's thumb.
It's also known as bowler's thumb, yeah. It's home.
And so we've got a lot of bowlers in this market, so they probably understand what he's going through. When you talk about common finger injuries in sports, I would assume it's depending on the sport. As a basketball coach, we see a lot of jammed from passes or rebounds where you get guys and you try to pull it out and get them back in the game. I don't do that.
No.
But other coaches
Coach.
Do. But common finger injuries in different sports?
Yeah, we see a lot of jammed fingers. Basketball, frequently the ball just hits the tip of the finger, bends it backwards. It hits it with what's called an axial load straight down, can cause an impaction. Lots of times there's a small fracture, an avulsion of a ligament. You know, obviously there's multiple ligaments through the finger, so it can cause a variety of injuries.
Yeah, so the finger, is it ever really just a finger? I mean, these are very complex structures.
Never.
So one of the things we wanted to touch on with you is if you jam your finger, whether you're playing, you know, touch football or flag football or you're playing basketball or whatever, how do you look at it and know when do you need to go into an urgent care? When can you just leave it alone? You know, can you just pop it back in place and keep going? Or you know, what do you do and how do you assess that?
All right. So many times a lot of people feel they jam their finger, they pull on it, pop it back into place. And initially, before you do anything, if you see a deformity and you pull on it and that deformity goes away, then you did pop it back into place and it might be okay, but you never know till you take an x-ray.
Go ahead.
So you really got to look for swelling, stiffness, persistent or continued pain to know if it's a serious injury or not. If it gets back to 100% normal within an hour or two, then it's probably nothing to worry about.
Can I just ask, when we talk about popping it back into place, what's actually happening at that point?
It's most likely a dislocation. And you can dislocate, typically it's the middle knuckle of the finger that would dislocate most commonly. It's also possible to dislocate the large knuckle where your finger attaches to the palm.
The reason that Dr. Afsari is pointing out when you need to get it assessed is that there are some structures that you can injure for a dislocation that you can pop it in and they can be fine. But there are other structures that you can injure for that can have long-lasting effect on your ability to use your finger and create deformities like swan neck deformities and other things that you see. And then later, it's much more difficult to deal with it. So if you have to pop it back in, it's worth going in, getting it checked, getting an x-ray. Make sure there's nothing that needs further treatment at that point.
So certainly, deformities like swan neck deformities, boutonniere deformities, not that we need to explain that here, but any deformity that's persistent, it's not resolving, you need to get it checked. Swelling that's not going away, you should get it checked. Lack of motion. If you can't make a complete fist and extend the digit all the way out straight like it was before the injury, then you should get that checked. And that includes getting an x-ray to make sure that there's no injury that needs to be addressed quickly. There, if you wait a week or two, a lot of times some of these injuries are difficult to fix after the fact.
You know, when we talk about hand injuries, we mostly talk about fingers, but the hand itself, the palm of the hand, you don't see many injuries with that part of the hand, correct?
Well, you do. I mean, especially in football, we see or you know, this famous boxer's fracture, right? So boxers hit with the first two metacarpal bones, the two that are hard, and they're very rigid. If you take your fist, make a fist right now, people listening, and you can see those first two don't move. The other two toward the other side of the wrist, they do move a lot. And so people who get a so-called boxer's fracture actually usually hit a wall. So we usually ask them, well, what did you hit? And they usually say, well, I hit the wall. And they usually hit with the bottom part. So real boxers almost never get them, is what I'm saying. And it's a fracture of the fifth metacarpal. And we see them with helmet injuries in football. Metacarpal fracture, pretty common, right?
Yeah, it is very common. So in the palm, it's mainly a metacarpal fracture that you're going to see an injury typically in sports. So if you're a pugilist, you know what you're doing. You're a real boxer.
Did you hear that? Yes. Did you hear the vocabulary that's being thrown out there? That's very nice.
I was trained at NYU.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
So pugilist is a boxer. Yeah, very nice.
And those guys know how to punch. They use their second and third metacarpals, which is a metacarpal of the index and long finger, as opposed to the amateur boxer who will hit with the small finger and ring finger and fracture commonly. Now, what tends to be a more difficult fracture to deal with is a fracture at the base of that fifth metacarpal, down towards the junction of that metacarpal to the wrist itself. Those frequently will shift halfway out of the joint, and those commonly need to be pinned surgically.
Is it when you're talking about high school and college age athletes? Football, basketball, and they're coming in to see you regarding hand. Do you see more athletes, or do you see that? Does it as we get older? Do you see more injuries with the hands because we've gotten older?
I see. Speaking of metacarpal fractures, you see it in people who may have a temper and strike objects.
Sometimes,
that are immobile.
Sometimes they've been drinking fermented beverages.
Possibly.
Why do you keep looking at the Irish guys in the room
when you talk about
the temper thing?
I've never seen anyone hit a wall and win. Let's put it that way. So if you're going to punch the wall, just rethink that.
Maybe something that's mobile.
Yeah, like college boys.
A pillow or something.
Yeah. College boys, we need to talk. Certainly.
No, we see his injuries, though, it runs the gamut. We see it from high school athletes to the weekend warrior, and it's all walks of life.
So, Dr. Afsari, tell us a little bit about things like different injuries in different sports. For example, what is a jersey finger? You hear about that in football. You know, a guy tries to grab somebody, pull them down. What happens there, and why is that a problem?
Well, jersey fingers occur when a lineman typically is trying to grasp an opponent, pulling him down, typically by the jersey. And as the flexor tendon is pulling against that jersey, the jersey's resisting, and those two opposing forces causes the tendon to literally pull off the bone. It can pull off the bone with a piece of bone with it or without, and after that injury, you're no longer able to bend the very last joint of the finger.
Yeah, so you can imagine when you're grabbing someone, you know, you usually grab that last little bit, sort of like the rock climbers do, and they grab that last little bit, and they're holding on as hard as they can, and that can actually pop that off if the force is high enough.
Hey, and for me, that just sounds very painful. And some of these players, when you see that they go down and they're holding their hand, that's what's probably happened.
Well, to be honest, I don't know that, especially when you get to the higher levels athletes, it's not that painful.
Really?
And they may feel like a sprain. Obviously, they want to keep playing. They typically play through pain and then may ignore it. And if you let that go for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that becomes very difficult surgically to fix.
So the way you would check that for people listening is you would actually hold with your thumb, hold the middle part of the finger, and then try to bend the end of the finger. And if you can't bend the end of the finger, that means the tendon that goes there, it's like a little rope that goes inside your finger, and it's pulling with a muscle. If you can't bend that, that means you need to get that checked. Because when Dr. Afsari can get to that injury early, it's very treatable. When you get to it very late, it gets very difficult to manage.
Hey, before we get to a break, can we talk about the injury that Jimmy Fallon had? You're familiar with that?
Yeah, I just saw he was talking about it on a show the other night. He had a pretty severe, pretty devastating injury for a finger. It's called a ring avulsion. And sometimes we'll see it when people try to climb a fence, younger patient climbing a fence, and they're coming down the other side. If there's a ring on the finger, it gets stuck at the top of the fence. The body and the hand keeps going down to the ground, but the ring stays at the top of the fence. That type of injury, the ring will strip the soft tissue right off the bone, and that includes lacerating both arteries, which go to the fingertip. When you lose blood supply to the fingertip, that finger's at risk for certainly not surviving. So he presented to a hospital where they saw his finger, and he thought it was just a fracture. They sent him immediately to Bellevue Hospital, where I've done replants myself, and they had to do basically what's called a replant. His finger wasn't completely off, but it was devitalized with no blood flow. They had to reattach arteries, veins, took a vein graft, and fixed the fracture and the tendons as well.
So basically, this is as close to an amputation injury as you can get without actually doing that.
Correct.
And so the interesting part of this not only is, Jimmy Fallon's obviously a very famous person, but also this was done where you did your fellowship. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
So very, very good
Dr. Chu, interesting.
He got treated well, I'm sure.
Dr. Chu showed up for his surgery with cowboy boots and a bow tie on, and Jimmy said, "That's my guy."
Really? He's a good guy. You know him?
I know Dr. Chu, yeah.
Hey, before we get to a break really quickly, I heard you guys talking about the use of leeches, and is that still something that's done? And why do they do that?
It is used still. There's medical-grade leeches, which can be used in a replant situation, putting the finger back on, and that helps drain blood out of the finger. Sometimes a vein graft doesn't adequately drain blood back out of the finger. Arterial blood flow allows the blood in, but if it's not coming out adequately, a leech can help.
Yeah, and one of the other things to touch on, and we're not going to get too far into this replant business because it's kind of off the sports med topic, but yeah. But some of the small fingers injuries, and we talked a little bit about Ronnie Lott jokingly coming in, but he actually elected to have his finger, the small finger, amputated or removed because it would have taken him too long to recover, and he would have missed a large part of the season. And some people think, well, that's just crazy, and maybe it is. But on the other hand, a lot of patients, Dr. Afsari, do better, believe it or not, losing a part of the finger and getting a quicker recovery with less stiffness and less soreness in the long term.
Getting back to life in terms of even work, your job, your activities of daily living, getting back to doing all that stuff normally, a lot of times it's better to just let the finger go instead of going through 3-4 months of couple surgeries and subsequently and then a year of therapy, and then sometimes still needs to be amputated later on anyways.
Yeah, it's a case-by-case decision and a difficult one that, obviously qualified doctors can help their patients make that decision. But if that's why people like that, like Ronnie Lott did that for that reason.
Hey, guys, let's get to a break. Again, if you want to learn more information on Dr. Amin Afsari, go to mymosh.com. And certainly there's some information on him, a great way to contact him, a couple of ways to contact him and set up an appointment. One thing we haven't talked about yet is the thumb. And on the other side of the break, there's a number of, when you're talking about the thumb and especially in sports, number of ways that we can go with that and a number of questions I have for you guys.
The most important evolutionary development, by the way. We'll talk about that as well.
Yes, we will. That's excellent. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Who is this? The Fan. Here we go. Welcome back.
This is Beastie Boys, Mike.
Beastie Boys. There you go. Dr. Mead, well done. Welcome back to the Midwest. I had no idea. Midwest Earth Music Sports Medicine
Show. You know, it's a good thing he's only here every once in a while. We might have to fire him.
You know, yeah, well, this isn't Barry Manilow.
She talks to my wife. She loves my music.
This
she
is does? Fantastic.
Okay, anyway, let's get on to the thumb. Very important topic. And, you know, we had teased it a little bit. But when you talk about some major injuries with the thumb, certainly Clay Matthews comes to mind, correct?
Yeah, he had a significant injury. It was he fractured the base of his first metacarpal down towards where the thumb attaches to the wrist. And that caused not only the fracture, but then that joint shifts halfway out of its socket and needed to be repaired. And if you recall, when he got back to playing, I think the fracture recurred.
Yeah. So the first thing we have to talk about really is why is the thumb so important?
Correct.
Right? Because the thumb, for people listening, you take it for granted. But the thumb is actually what separates us from all of the other primates. You know, all the other chimpanzees and apes and everything else, they have what's called a non-opposable thumb. So it moves in the same plane as your hand. And that's why they can't grip and make tools and things like that, or they're very primitive. And this led really evolutionarily to the development of the human mind, because you could then make tools. The brain power became very important, and we were able to advance far beyond normal. So this opposable thumb, we call it, if you out there listening, take your thumb and press it to your pinky finger, your ring finger, you know, they can't do that, and we can. And so function of the thumb is critical for being able to use your hands. And, you know, being able to use your hands is what makes us human, really. So it's a really big deal. So big of a deal, Mike, that I actually called my college band. I'm sure everyone out there knows about my band, formerly the Thumbs. And we were the Thumbs initially, and then when one of our guys left, we became formerly the Thumbs. But the bottom line is we're going to talk in this segment about what happens and why is it so important to get function back in the thumb. So Dr. Afsari, you were talking about Clay Matthews, and he had this fracture, and now it's the middle of the season, and people are like, really? You know, he's playing in a cast. Can't you get that cast off, right?
It's just a thumb, right?
Yeah, just
let him
hand
out there.
Come on.
Well, if he doesn't have that thumb, he can't grasp, hold, pull somebody down. And if you don't treat that appropriately, he's going to end up with thumb arthritis, pain in that thumb with any gripping or lifting, even when he drinks his coffee in the morning.
Wow. Now he's 100%? Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
And what was the procedure? Did he have surgery, or was it just rest?
Typically, that's fixed with surgery, where we pin the joint back into place. A lot of times you can do it without making an incision. X-rays in the operating room, you relocate that joint and pin it into place till that bone heals.
So basically you pull on it until the bone fragments come together, and then you can put pins to stabilize it and then allow the body to heal it.
And pins come out later.
And how long? He was out for a bit.
I don't recall now exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was maybe 4 weeks,
yeah,
right?
Four or five
and then
weeks.
He came back in a cast.
Right.
We talked about that. So some of these guys can play in a cast. They have to pad it up. I don't know if people realize that, but they're padded, because obviously otherwise it's a club, which,
correct,
believe me, I having treated a lot of football players, they love to use. So that has to be padded so that they can't cause further injury to other players. But these thumb issues are so important, because at the tip of the thumb, Mike, if you put 1 pound of pressure there, at the base of your thumb, you get 12 pounds of reactive force there. So there's a lot of power and force that goes through that joint. And that joint that makes us different is what's called a saddle joint. So it's very unstable. And so injuries to it are really important to treat. And that's why it's great to have Dr. Afsari as part of our team. So when we have injuries and people are hurt, we can immediately consult with one another via phone. We have a secure messaging system that we use to share images of x-rays, and we can talk right away and get athletes treated usually within 24 to 48 hours, they're fully treated.
Yeah, extremely important.
Yeah, it's great to collaborate with my partners and get athletes back on the field. Handling these things together, we can do it quickly and get people back playing quick.
Hey, what is, you hear the term skier's thumb?
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
So basically when you're holding a ski pole, the thumb is obviously wrapped around the handle. And if you're to fall, a common skier injury is the thumb will hit the ground and it'll bend backwards away from the palm. That causes a ligament injury. It's the ligament in that first web space at the base of the thumb that basically it ruptures. And when that ligament ruptures, it actually gets trapped behind another tendon and then cannot heal back to its normal location. That results in joint instability and then eventually arthritis in that joint.
Yeah, it's really, this is an interesting injury. It happens in football players also. I've had several quarterbacks that have had this injury where they get hit with a helmet as they're releasing the ball, and it can do the same thing. And what Dr. Afsari is saying is that the ligament that stabilizes, if it fell back in place, it would probably scar down and heal. But sometimes in this case, it actually slips behind another structure and it cannot heal. And that's why, again, if you get these injuries and there's a question, get in to see Dr. Afsari and get it checked out. So because we can tell in the office by checking it on examination whether or not this is something that needs to be treated.
Hey, before we get to this break, you had said coming out of the last break that your wife loves your music. Is that?
Well, that's tongue-in-cheek.
Tongue-in-cheek. What is her name?
Amy.
Amy, I hope she's listening. You have two kids, correct? A boy and a girl?
That's correct.
You know what's cool? We talked about coaching and you're helping coach the youth hockey team. And your son, a pretty good hockey player?
Yeah, he's getting there. He scored a couple goals at an Admirals game.
All right.
That's awesome. What is his name?
Charlie.
Charlie. Well done, Charlie, if you're listening. We love that stuff. Hey, we've talked about fingers. We've talked about the thumb. I'd like to come back and talk a little bit about the wrist and what to look for when somebody sprains his or her wrist. And we'll talk a little bit about that on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Good choice, Mike.
No. This is brought to you by Isabel Afsari.
That's right.
Taylor Swift. Dr.
I'm not familiar with the song myself, Mike.
Yeah, Isabel,
thank
you so much.
Now you go from U2 to Beastie Boys to Taylor Swift. You know, you got a good family.
It's eclectic.
No doubt. Isabel, thank you so much for that choice. Hey, guys, we just got one segment left, and we want to talk a little bit about the sprained wrist and what we need to look out for when somebody has a sprained wrist, Doctor.
We're looking for swelling, persistent pain. Sometimes you feel a clunk or a click repeatedly. A lot of joints can click and pop, and that's not necessarily anything wrong with the wrist, but certainly after an injury, where a lot of times it bends back too far. In fact, I trained with a hand surgeon who advised his patients to not ever put their hand in a position where it's flat on the ground and it's bent all the way back. And anyone who does yoga knows you gotta do that all the time in yoga. I think that's pretty conservative, but yeah, anytime you've had an injury and then swelling and pain persists, that's something to get checked.
Yeah, specifically, there's a bone in the wrist. The wrist is a really cool joint if anybody wants to look it up. There are eight small bones. They're like little stones in there, and they have this really complex movement pattern that's necessary for proper wrist function. It's really quite fascinating. And one of the bones there is called the scaphoid bone, and it's the one that we worry about the most. It's kind of if you lift your thumb up, you see there's this little triangle formed by the tendons there. It's right at the base of that on the back of your hand. You'll see there's a little base of your thumb triangle. That's where the scaphoid bone is. And that bone has a very unusual blood supply, doesn't it?
It does. The blood supply goes to the very end of the bone and then enters and comes back towards the base of that bone. And that can be easily disrupted by a fall where that bone fractures. And once that bone breaks, that blood supply is disrupted. And if there's no blood supply to a certain part of any bone, that portion of the bone will actually die.
What would, as a coach and as a parent of a kid who played a lot of sports, and my wife is a registered nurse, so that certainly helped with this question, but when do you know that you need to get an X-ray, in your opinion?
Well, when you have an injury where that pain persists, it doesn't resolve after an hour or two, and there's swelling and there's tenderness in that space Dr. McCarty just described, which is known as the snuff box. When there's pain and tenderness in that spot, and if you're seen at an urgent care or ER, they'll frequently say you need to see somebody in a week, repeat an X-ray to check that scaphoid and make sure there's no fracture there.
Yeah, these are the kind of injuries that if they're treated early, the outcomes are very, very good. If they're missed or they're treated late or ignored, the outcomes are more difficult. And once that bone doesn't heal, it really becomes a problem. So if someone says, hey, you know, you wear this splint, if you're still sore in a week, go see someone. If you're still sore in a week, go see them and get it checked. And you know, maybe it'll be fine. Maybe it is just a little bit of a ligament stretch, which is what we call a sprain or a complete rupture of a ligament. But usually it's something that doesn't necessarily need treatment. But if you diagnose these things early, they're very, very treatable. And Dr. Afsari is excellent at this.
It's a subtle thing sometimes, Mike. A lot of times it just feels like a sprain. People don't think much of it. And the pain can go away after 3, 4, 5 days. And people think, it's back to normal. Well, then you find out a year later, months later. And I have some certainly adult patients now who fractured their scaphoid in high school and have severe arthritis.
Is when somebody has a ligament tear rather than a sprained wrist, is there surgery then involved with that? And what type of surgery?
Correct. There is a ligament that attaches the scaphoid to the next bone right adjacent to it is the lunate. And that scapholunate ligament is a ligament that can rupture. And when that ligament ruptures, those two bones no longer work in coordination. And that's where I can examine a patient and push on that scaphoid, manipulate the wrist, and you get a large clunk, which indicates that ligament is ruptured. And that's something that should be repaired. Again, if not, it can lead to arthritis down the road.
You know, one of the things we like to ask doctors here on this show is, you know, some of the hardest cases or one of the hardest cases that you've ever seen. If we asked you that, what would you say?
Yeah, I had a police officer who unfortunately ended up with a bullet through the hand. And that really caused a lot of damage. It caused fractures common, what we call comminuted. There's multiple fragments of bone to multiple metacarpals, and that was right adjacent to his wrist bones, and that it caused injury to tendons, the nerves, the bones. It required multiple surgeries and reconstructive surgery, taking bone from his hip, and getting those bones to heal up, and then nerve grafts down the road, and then tendon. Surgery where I had to release scar tissue from around tendons. So it was extensive.
Where on the hand did it go through?
It really went through the base of the hand towards the small finger side, and there's some critical structures there.
This is really a sign of the kind of expertise that Dr. Afsari brings to these injuries. You know, that he can do all these different things, and you know, doing that, you know, down at Mosh, what about that helps? I mean, what's different?
Well, I tell you, the staff at Mosh is excellent. They're so specialized and dedicated to orthopedics. And as an orthopedic hand surgeon, I don't have to think twice about the facility, the equipment, the staff that's helping me. They all know what they're doing. And then I can focus on what's important for the patient.
How long have you been at Mosh?
It's been 3 years now.
Man, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, congratulations. You can check out any information on Mosh. Go to mymosh.com. You can certainly get information on my co-host, Dr. Brian McCarty. Dr. Amin Afsari, who's been in studio with us, you can get information on him as well. Hey, guys, we got a couple of minutes before get to a break and we transition into the Milwaukee Area Home Improvement Show. But are you going to watch the Brett Favre thing today?
You know, I probably will.
I will, too.
I have to tell you that I'm, you know, 48. So I've been around for a while, and when I was growing up, the Packers were a shambles. I mean, there's just no other way to put it.
Right.
And then it got worse, you know, after the Bart Starr era.
It got worse.
Which was hard to imagine. And really, the whole thing changed with Ron Wolf and Brett Favre and Reggie White. And, you know, I know that everybody's still, you know, wound up about Brett. But I'll tell you what, you go back and look at some of these films of this guy when he was playing, when he was a young player. He was the Packers for years and years and years. And I'm excited for him that he's finally sort of making peace. And it's time to move on, in my opinion. And I was reliving some of these memories yesterday. I was listening on the radio, and they were going through some of these plays and some of the times. And I was just thinking how much fun it was. And my little boys had their Brett Favre jerseys and everything. And, you know, the NFL is a business. Things change. But, boy, what great memories this guy gave us.
He had an impressive career. And I've come to the point where I'm forgetting about all the interceptions.
Yes, that's
and
hard,
though. Moving on, too.
Yeah, I had him on a couple of fantasy teams. Those interceptions are killing me. You grew up here at Milwaukee?
Yeah, Waipa Spey, born and raised.
You're Blue Duke?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, and certainly Packer, Badgers.
Bucks. Absolutely. Went to Madison. Huge Badger.
See, another Badger.
Another big. A lot
we're
of Badgers.
Cleaning up with the Badgers.
Yeah, we really are. And so when you go to mymosh.com, understand that Dr. Mina is a Badger guy, and he's from here, and certainly follows the Packers, the Bucks, the Badgers, and
he hates Dez Bryant.
And he hates. Yeah, doesn't that?
Partly because of that cowboy thing.
Yeah, and the cockiness.
You know, a little too much attitude.
Yeah, and that's never good. Certainly, thank you for coming in, man. This has been a pleasure.
Really interesting
topic, I think, when you talk about the hand and you talk about the risk, especially in sports, because there are a lot of people that can get dinged up on the hand or the wrist, and it's important that we know that they need to come see you.
Well, I certainly think it's the most important thing on the body, Mike.
Yeah, yes, you do.
Well, it's hard to do things without your hands. And, you know, people be thinking about that. Watch the British Open today and the crazy winds at St. Andrews. I've been there. It's hard to play in the wind, but it's a lot of fun to watch. So we'll check it out.
Yeah, they shut that. It's still shut down. And I guess you can't play if the ball starts.
Well, the balls are blowing off of the greens without anyone touching them, so it's kind of hard to play.
Yeah,
it's a little bit too windy.
That would give a guy like me a chance to stay in it for a while.
Maybe it would blow in the hole.
Yeah, there you go. Have a good week, Dr. McCarty. It's good to see you, Dr. Mean. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
And certainly make sure that your daughter knows we really appreciate the whole Taylor Swift thing. Really,
absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, it brought the show to a whole different level.
Yeah.
This has been the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.